Blog Talk Radio.
Over your life and settle. Over your life. With a move, Jesus.
I don't know.
Yeshua HaMashiach, our gracious and coming King, ruler of thy prophet Isaiah. Our Lord and King, we bow before your throne. You who knew us before the beginning and called us your own, we call you Emmanuel. We are never alone. Jesus the Christ, the Lord, we redeem mankind from sin, sickness, and everything that held humanity behind. El Shaddai, Adonai, God Almighty. Elyon, Elohim, humble Rabboni. Righteousness with you, Jehovah, the King, and Shammah, always present whenever we need. Arabic, Rabba, Arabic, Arabic. You are gone forever, but your long arm of salvation, O Lord of the world, rescued us, transformed us so much so that I fully saw. Tell me, how could the great royalty become the sacrificial lamb so he can search and rescue and all at your feet? How could the everlasting and the lamb become human just so he can save me? O ye, superior mighty one, is there any greater than everything that has or will ever be? I am that I am, three in one. Holy God, Father, Spirit, Son. Jireh, you are more than enough. And Pastor, you are our hiding place of God. You be glory, honor, and power. Your whole Father, I'm fighting our battle. Oh, Lord, I fire you who holds us.
Thank you. for 2 seconds, do you go? It's the Lord.
Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We are full. We have to go and do some work today, but we'll go after the program. Father, we thank you and praise you, God, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for blessing us to be here on Blog Talk service. Lord, we know that you're opening doors for us that no one can close. And we thank you, Father. We thank you. We ask you, O God, to bless the four corners of the earth today. Bless the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Father, allow us to hear and see, receive that which you have given us. And pray that the people that hear out there today in computer land would receive the word with gladness. Oh, Father, we ask that you forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. We're going to talk today about walking with integrity. What we are really seeing today is that God wants us to live according to his commands, to walk and live according to his commands. You know, so easily with all that's going on in the earth, in the world today, for us, you and I, for us, the people of God, to be distracted, delayed, and even if possible, destroyed by the things that are happening in the world today. We are enticed by all that we see and all that we hear. And then there's so many that are preaching and teaching only to make you happy. They're trying to tickle your ears. and they will prophesy all of these great prophecies that you're going to have this and have that. And I'm watching them on the YouTube, on the internet, all of these great prophets and prophetesses and evangelists and bishops and apostles, they're saying, they're prophesying about prosperity. This is what they focus on, you know. And I always say, Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, you know. So they pumping you up in your spirit, man. That's what they're doing, pumping you up and make you feel good. Oh, you can have this and have that, but none of them are preaching about holiness. And this is what the Lord is taking us back into this sermon that we did somewhere around 2011, 2012. And the Lord took us back today this morning and said, well, pull this up and let's go into the book of Acts. And we're going to teach from this chapter in Acts, talking about walking in integrity. You know, it's very difficult today to find real men and women that walk in integrity. You know, they're not corrupt, being corrupt by the system or by people. People say, well, let me just buy the preacher a Rolex watch. Let me just buy the preacher a new robe, a new suit, or new dress, or some new expensive shoes, or some diamonds, or something like that. And because they live in a corrupt life, and they want the preacher to accept them just the way they are, and they continue living the same way, you know. Hallelujah. Jesus accept people as they were prostitutes, they were adulterers and adulterers, but he never allowed them to continue that, because when he delivered them, he tell them, go and sin no more. He didn't say, well, we're going to hang out, and we're going to go down to the synagogue, and we're going to, you know, and have a good time, and you just do what you're doing, you know. And the preachers, a lot of preachers doing that. They said, come on in. In other words, they even said, well, let's change the word. Some of them, you watch them on the air, you know, they say, you know, the people are like that, they know you got to let them do what they're doing. But the Bible didn't say that. You got to preach sound doctrine. Sound doctrine makes sound people. You got to preach this thing without fear. You got to go in there without fear and just deliver what thus says the Lord. If they give you, they give you. If they don't give you, they don't give you. Just dust off your feet and keep on moving. Don't compromise the word of God. Don't compromise this. Don't compromise. This is so powerful. Here in the book of Acts chapter 8, we prayed already. We've been doing some things, and the Lord is blessing us to get out there and have some people. But, you know, today we even have to go out. I had to just send a lady a text message just now. Tell her I wouldn't be coming early this morning. I'll come late in the day. Because, I don't want to keep missing so many days from Blog Talk Radio. So here in the book of Acts, we're talking about walking in integrity. If you're a man of God or a woman of God, you ought to walk this walk that pleases God. You know, if you please God, if you walk it right before him, he said, no good thing will he withhold from you. He'll make your enemy even be at peace with you. Even at peace with you. If you walk in this thing, and some people say, well, I just want to get rich. I'm focusing on getting rich. I was listening to a program last night. They would tell you, if you speak these 10 words, and the man is selling this, he's become a millionaire by selling that thing. He's an African-American. He become a multimillionaire, lives in Texas. Yes, he's giving back to the neighborhoods, but he called to find out something in the Bible, and he said that the Illuminati people are using this same recipe from the Bible. That's what he called it. And they're using it for evil, but he turned around and he used the same word for good. And he says ever since that he started using the word, and he chant this word every morning, he says, before he go to the gym, before he start his day, he chant this word. He pray to God, say he is saved, he sanctified, and then he chant this word from the Bible. And he said, if you do this, you'll change your mind, you'll change your mindset, you'll change your focus, And then you can focus on the things that God wants you to do. Sounds good. But then when you get down to the bottom, you say, I'm not going to charge $500 for this car. People, I got 8, 9, 10. He got all these cars, Rolls Royce, Lamborghini, Ferraris, all these cars. You got about 7 or 8 cars and big house. And he says, I'm not going to charge you $500, $300. He come all the way, not $100, so not $97. He said, look, I could charge $97. People was buying up that thing like crazy all over. He was jumping up on the internet. And that's how he making more and more money. And he said, but I'm going to charge $37 for the time that I spend in putting this together. You know, a lot of people buying it up. So what the Lord told me while I was listening to it, he said, well, listen to the ink. I want to get to the stuff, you know. You know, and when I heard, he said, $37, then the Lord dropped in my spirit. He says, no, so many people are talking about prosperity, but nobody's talking about holiness. The Lord told me that. He says, and then he said to me, he says, you know, if you live holy, he said, you'll get both riches and holiness will overtake you. And she says, and I thought about it, like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added on to you. You will have more than enough. You'll find that you wouldn't be lacking for anything. You're walking in integrity. You're walking in, right before God, and you'll find that people will be blessing you, blessing your ministry, blessing your work. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Now here in this book of Acts, let's start at verse 4, chapter 8. And he says, let's read out the NLT, I believe. He says, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. See, a lot of things in this particular time that this word is being written, the church is being abused. The church is being attacked by Saul. He is one of the attackers of the abusers of the church. In other words, Saul taught that he was really working for God. And you have some people out there that are doing stuff and they think that they're doing it for God. And in reality, they're not doing it for God. Satan is leading them to disrupt the church. Even right now, you have people just coming against us. We can't stand Christianity. We can't stand people, those Jesus freaks, those Bible-talking people. And I mean, it's all over. Right here in my city in Boston, I'm telling you, it's rough. It's rough. But you still have to preach the gospel. I preach in a city that there's murders nearly every night, every day in Dorchester. And then the surrounding one, you got Mattapan, you got Brockton, you got Jamaica Plain, Hyde Park, all these cities right around in a circle. And these are young black men and women and Latinos that are killing one another. Young men. I was saying, look, these are handsome men that they could, you know, and you would think they could, everything is at their fingertip. Because Massachusetts wants the states that they give you a lot of stuff free, a lot of free stuff. You can get a grant to go to school. They pay for you to go to trade school. And they don't want to do that stuff. They want everything easy. Here, you see, Paul was persecuting the church. He was even seeking for letters from the priest so he can go in arrest and from the authorities, governmental authorities, and the people in the synagogue, so he can go and arrest the Christians and bound them, put them in prison. But here, the Bible says that the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. But Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. See, Philip was operating with power and authority. Understand? He was operating in this, the spirit of incorruptibility. walking in integrity. He was operated in the worthiness of who God said he was. He was walking upright. He was a righteous man, holy, authentic, and powerful. This is who Philip was. He didn't compromise the word of God. He didn't water down what he was told, what he heard. He was releasing it just the way he got it. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims. And many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there were great joy in the city. See, when you begin to preach this gospel and declare this truth under the anointing, not compromising, people are going to get healed. People are going to get delivered. People are going to be restored to their rightful mind. Hallelujah. We had a young man call me a couple of times last week, and finally when we got him on the phone, we talked for a while, and then we prayed for him. And he came to church on Sunday morning, and he said to me, he says, Pastor, he said, Pastor, you know, the devil been attacking me. I mean, he said, the devil been attacking him, He says, I can't get him off my mind. This is a young man that's born again. And from what they told me, he's a minister of the gospel. But he said the devil had infiltrated his mind, and he says all sorts of thoughts been coming to him. And he found out that he had diabetes. And the doctor said he got to cut off one of his toes. And he asked me, what should he do? I said, well, let's pray about it. And we prayed. And he told me he's not going to let them cut off his toe. He's going to trust God to heal his toe. You know, he's going to trust God. After we prayed, and he said, well, I'm coming back to church next week. I'll be there next week. God wants us to trust him and depend on him and rely on him. But he also wants us to walk upright. Don't just trust God because you want a new job. Don't just trust God because you want healing. Don't trust God because you just trust him because you want a new home, a home or a car or something. But trust him because he's God. Because of the work that he done at Calvary, the finished work of Calvary, is enough for us to trust him that he give us the right to the tree of life by giving his life, laying down his life for us so we could live. That's enough to trust him. See, when you didn't know the truth, you don't have to trust him, but now you know the truth. You know the truth, and you said when you know the truth will set you free or make you free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. So we have to walk in this freedom, walk in this anointing that gives us power and authority. It says, a man named Simon, verse 9, had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people and of Samaria, and claiming to be someone great. Now you have a lot of people that are dibbing and dabbing in witchcraft. And they're even in the house of the Lord. They have a spirit that's over the church now. Not God's church, but man's church. And this spirit is called the Kundalini spirit. And another one is called the Marine spirit or the Mermaid spirit. And you have a lot of preachers that has given their soul to this satanic leading, and they're doing miracles that don't last. Hallelujah! Because the only miracle that lasts is the one that Jesus did. And when Jesus worked through you and allow you to speak with authority and touch and lay hands with the power of God, people get healed, and the healing lasts. But when you have to go down to the water and talk to some demon in the water and sell your soul, and some of them have to have sex with the demon, this is what's all going on. This is real, people. Hallelujah. Because they want power and not holiness. They want power that give them money and not holiness. See, if you make endeavor to study the Word of God and let this be the manuscript that leads your life, what happens is that money begins to run you down. Finances run you down because God blesses you. God said, He said, the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and He add no sorrows to it. Hallelujah. So we have to connect with Him and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do today? Now I could be inside Boston making money right now. I'm still going to make some money today. But I say, you know what? If I go in the morning, I'm going to have to wait over there till this evening. Because what I want to do, one of the jobs that God do can't do, till the teachers get home. I said, no, why do I go over there in the morning? Let me go after, I know the teachers go after 3 o'clock. I'll go over there. So let me just put this, that does not too long, put this in. Maybe after 10:30 or so, 10:45, I put the message in. Here in this text, in the King James Version, the Bible says that Simon, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time, in the same city, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Now, he was working, operating in this witchcraft spirit, you can say satanic spirit, and he was bewitching the people. And he was making it seem like he was some, and the people even looked at him like he was some great man from God. You have a pastor stepping on people in their belly, on the apostle, on you too, stepping on women's belly. And say when he put his feet in their belly, they're going to get pregnant. You have another one that is grabbing the women in their vagina and tell them that he's going to make them, get them, they're going to get pregnant. It's not in the Bible. All of this is witchcraft. This is where we got to look and line up the stuff with God's word, and if it's not in God's word, leave it alone. Depart from it. Separate yourself from it. It's a different doctrine. It's not the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's not the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. It's not the doctrine of the Holy Apostles. So why are we following these people that come on YouTube and they have thousands of people following them, believing that foolishness? Listen what he says. The Bible says, to whom they all give heed from the least to the greatest, saying this man is the great power of God. See that? They become so bewitched that they think that the actions that he's performing is from God. People are squeezing your hand, pressing their big thumb in the center of your palm, pressing it. I was with an apostle, an African, that's how he messed the people up. Using that stuff, pressing a finger, a big thumb in the palm. And they're falling out. Because this is what the demon tell them to do. Listen what he says. But when they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. See, when the truth comes, it's going to make a difference. The good news, the gospel, when you begin to teach this and preach this uncompromising, not watered down, it's going to make a difference because the gospel is convicting. It'll convict your soul. Hallelujah. You say, I don't like the way that preacher preached. I don't like the way she preached or he preached. But once if it's the truth, when you get in your car and you're driving home or going to your job, that's all you're going to hear. Holy Spirit going to speak to you by the Spirit, by His Word. It's going to come back. It's going to regurgitate in your spirit, man, because it's the truth. And it will not let you hide. This is what He says. Whew. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. The warlock, he now decided he would get baptized. So he get baptized, and when he got baptized, what he's doing, he's following the men of God. He is following the men, the servants of God, watching and observing the miracles that they're performing by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Everybody that come with you don't want what you have. Not the way you get it. They believe they can purchase it, and then they want to use it for ill gains. Not for the gain of the Holy Spirit or God to win souls. So the Bible says, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. See, they were baptized in Jesus' name, but they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. They have not received the indwelling power of God. See, this is why we say you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you also have to receive His Spirit. You have to receive His Spirit on the inside to help you to live a life that's holy, a life with integrity. So you'll walk in integrity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here we see Peter and John were sent down. For as yet he was falling upon none of them. Talk about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost have not fell on anybody. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands up on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Peter and John laid hands on them, and they received the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. And when Simon, the apostle Simon, saw that through laying on of the apostle hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He thought he could buy this thing. The Holy Ghost is not for sale. Jesus is not for sale. It's a free gift. That's why you see people everybody want to write books now. Everybody, you go on the internet, every preacher now you see is writing a book. They want to be an author. They want to be a doctor of theology. But nobody want to live holy. You don't hear them preaching about holiness. They say, well, I'm Arthur. I'm Dr. So-and-so, Dr. Arthur somebody. And you can buy my book. You can buy my CDs. You can do this. And if you call me up, and then one preacher, he just died over there in Michigan. He just died. I was talking to him. He's a bishop. He's a bishop, chief apostle. I knew him for a while. And one time we were talking on the phone. And I said, well, I'm praying for these people. They call me all the time to pray and stuff. He said, how much you charge for praying for people? I don't charge nobody because I got it free. He said, no, man, you have spent so much time. We spent so much time. He said, I don't do that. So I spent so much time trying to get to sharpen my gift, and I'm not going to give it away for free. I said, wow. But since that day, I haven't talked to him. I just heard on the internet, saw on the internet that he crossed over. He's much younger than I am, but he crossed over. All his focus was on is money, not winning souls for the kingdom. You know, God promised in his word, and God is not a liar. God said he's going to take care of us, his children. He said he would take care. He said, and no good thing what I wish for. He said, if you love me and you walk right before me, God, many people say they love God, but it's a difficulty walking it right before God, walking in integrity. So many people say, I love God, but then they want to do this, they want to do that. They steal, they lie, they cuss, they do everything. They get high, get drunk. One pastor just lost his church here in Boston. Nice, big, beautiful church. Just lost it. Why? Because he was sleeping with little boys and little girls in the church. Well-known pastor here in Boston. Now he's sitting in the penitentiary somewhere. And another preacher took over the church who was the homosexual, took over the church. How do I know that? Because a deacon who we used to be in the same church, and the same church, not that church, but the same church, and he's still in that church. And the deacon told me, he said, well, you know so-and-so got that big church that from that pedophile bishop? Because folk are preaching, and they can preach me under the table. I'm telling you, I'm not ashamed. They can preach me under the table but they can't live holy. They can't live holy. Holiness is not part of their agenda. Because holiness means you got to go against the grain. When you decide, make a decision to live holy, you got to go against the grain. You can't hook up like they're hooking up. Here this man thought that he could buy the Holy Ghost. And Peter rebuked him. Simon saw through laying on of the apostle's hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whom, at whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Some folk come and think that they can come and buy your gift, apostle. They think they can come and buy all gifts, the gift that God has given to us. They think, but let me come and give them $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $3,000, whatever they know they don't hurt their bank. So if I just pour into this man, the God, this woman, the God, I'm going to get all. I'm going to be able to take my business to another realm. I'm going to be able to take my business to, but they not have good intentions, see? Hallelujah. They don't have good intentions. And God don't honor that kind of stuff. He don't honor that. So Peter told him, he said, your money perish with you. But Peter replied, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. See, folks don't understand this thing. This thing is not a verbal thing. This thing is a heart. It's a heart thing. Being who God said you are is a heart thing. It's not how we dress up. We ought to dress like we are who God said we are. But the main thing is that we got to live as who God said we are. Not like, but who God said we are. We got to live this way. Because God is watching us. Peter said to him, repent of your wickedness and pray the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. See, folk will get jealous. They'll get jealous because of who you are. The anointing that's on your life, they get jealous of. They'll talk behind your back. They'll stab you. They'll put pick forks in your back because of the anointing that's on your life and still laugh in your face. But you still can't love that as a body. You still pray for folk. Still pray for folk to ask God to free them from the hold that the enemy has on them. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to continue. We got to continue delivering and declaring who God said we are, this word of God. Pray to the Lord. Hallelujah. Pray to the Lord for me, Simon exclaimed, that these terrible things you have said won't happen to me. After testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. Peter and John, they came down and used their gift to make sure the new believers would have the help that they need to have to help them to grow. See, the Holy Ghost don't just come and sit around and look upon you and look upon us. He helps us by working on the inside of us, help us to grow in the things of God. He's not just there as someone we could call upon, call you want to get more money, call you want to get a better car. He's not here because you you want to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend or you want to get a husband. He's not here. Folk go into the house of the Lord and say, I'll go in there because they got some pretty women in there. And if I go in there, I can get a wife. Or they got some handsome young men that I can get. No, he's not there for that. He's there to keep you on the straight and narrow path, to help us to understand what God is saying to us through the word, to make this word understandable to us. This is what the Holy Ghost is here for. Make you rich in the things of God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Now here we see in chapter 8, verse 9 to 11, Simon talks about Simon's past reputation. What was his past reputation? He was a sorcerer. He was a sorcerer. Hallelujah. Here, verse 9 says, a man named Simon had been a sorcerer for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. This is what he does. He claiming now, you see, he claimed to be someone great. And here in verses 10 to 11, he had influence over the people. His actions was influencing them, working witchcraft, sorcery, from the people. Now, his profession. Simon now professed that his faith to be a Christian. He was speaking with his mouth. He got saved. He received the gift of salvation by his confession. But his heart still wasn't right. His heart wasn't right, verse 12 to 13. Verse 12 talks about, but when their beliefs set up preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, there were baptized both men and women. There was a great conversion took place. Hallelujah. This old Simon, the sorcerer, he wants to buy this thing because his heart is not right. We, as people of God, our hearts need to be right. Hallelujah. We have to get our mind in the right place, have the right mindset. Why are we doing this? Why are we here? Why do we go and open the church on Sunday morning? Why do we open the building on Wednesday night? Why do we open it on Saturday morning? Excuse me. So people can give us accolades? So people can give us money? Or we open because we want to reach souls? We want more souls to come. We want to let the people know how they need to live their life. Hallelujah. We got to get and break this thing down so people know it's not about what you say, but what you do. We walk around, they happen to come in, they have the Bible. The Bible looked like it haven't been used. It haven't been used because I say you can't wait till Sunday morning to open your Bible. You can't wait till Wednesday night midweek service to open your Bible on Sunday morning for Sunday school. You got to open that Bible every day of the week. Every chance you get, open that Bible and study. Study with the Holy Ghost so you can get life, because this is what the Bible is. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and 17. It doesn't necessarily mean you got to hear the preacher all the time. Open your mouth and study the Bible loud so your faith would begin to grow. Hallelujah. The apostles' ministry in Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, the new converts, and they received the Holy Spirit. Simon saw this. After Simon saw this, he thought that he could buy this thing. People are looking and watching you speaking in towns, and they see you doing this and doing that, and they think that, well, they can just open the mouth and blab. That's it. No, it's not about that.
It's about allowing the Holy Ghost to use you. Like folks come and say, "Ah, Pastor, can you pray for me?" I say, "Well, yeah, I pray for you. But I have to get a release from the Holy Spirit. When he give me a release to pray, I'm going to pray for you. I'm just going to open my mouth and start running, saying anything I want to say. I have to sense it in my spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit want me to say." Hallelujah, glory to God. The nature of their ministry, hallelujah, is right here. As soon as they arise, this is what it's all about. They're going to work. Peter and John, as soon as they got to where the new believers to Samaria, they begin to pray. Hallelujah. They begin to pray for the believers. Hallelujah. So everybody going to be on one accord. It's not big eyes or small ears. We're going to get on one accord in prayer so the Holy Spirit can come in and do what only the Holy Spirit can do. Do you understand what's going on? Excuse me. Simon proposed. He made a proposal in Acts chapter 8, verse 18 and 19. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. He made a proposal. And Peter, Simon was rebuked by Peter. Okay? Acts chapter 8, verse 20 to 24. But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought." I'm in the New Living Translation. "You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God." Your heart is not in the right place. You see that? Your heart is not in the right place, man. Why are you coming in ministry? Why do you want to get in ministry? Are you trying to get in the ministry because you want to see souls saved? Or you getting into ministry because you know if you get in there, you can get a lot of money. People are going to give you all these offers and all this stuff. Why are you getting into ministry? No, the apostle says, you got to get the people offering for you every third Sunday so you can buy gas. I said, that's a little apostle. This is not what it's all about. No, if God want them to give me something, to give me something. I said, but my car's not empty. You know, my car was almost empty yesterday because I didn't want to go to the gas station. I was too tired. But then I went out and filled it up because I know I had things to do. And I filled up so I have enough gas to get back and forth to church, the church building. I don't go in there to make money. Peter rebuked the sorcerer. He opened his mouth to receive Jesus because he's not having the right mindset. Some folk come to the building. So I'm going down there, man, because Brother John preached. He's a good preacher, man. The praise team is so good. Man, the musicians, oh, they play. You should hear the man on the keyboard. Oh, man, he prays. Oh, Lord, he prays. He make that great keyboard talk. They're not going down there for the right reason. They're going down there because the sister that sleeps in prison, she's very attractive. She got a nice-looking body. The man who's playing the keyboard, Oh, he don't wear a wedding band. He already may be mine, but don't wear a wedding band. That's like if I go there, I can get him. They don't have the right mindset, the right intent. Their heart is not right for God. Peter rebuked him in the condemnation. See here, Peter told him in Acts chapter 8, verse 21, "You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin." See, folk would get jealous because God is using you. God is using us. Lady called me from South Carolina the other day, prophetess. She says, Apostle, man, I got this migraine is so bad, and I couldn't sleep. She said, and it's hurting me so bad today. And I said, well, okay. And I asked her, she had some mother's vinegar first. And she asked me, you talking about the white vinegar? I said, no, the one that's dark, brown, and has like dirt in the bottom. That's good. Because sometimes your blood pressure go up and give you serious migraines, and vinegar will bring down your blood pressure quick. And she said, no, but I said, let us go to God. I just ask if you have that, because that will help you. And we're going to still pray. We're going to seek God first. And I pray for God. Pray to God for her. We prayed and agreed that God would release whatever is causing the migraine. And less than a minute, I finished praying for her. We praying. And I got to say, Baba, I'll talk to you later. And she called me back. Text me, not sorry. She said, Apostle, I not do nothing. She said, the migraine is gone. Thank you for praying with me. Gone. Because we live in this thing. We walk in this thing out. We live in walking in integrity. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You got to walk this thing out, not talking it out. Talking it sounds, it's good. It sounds good. Because you'll hear yourself in faith with this. But then after you hear your faith, you got to walk in faith. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. You got to walk the scriptures out that you're studying. The scriptures that you're hearing, you got to walk them out. They got to become the path, that the light onto your feet. Lamp onto your feet and light onto your path. This word that you're hearing is supposed to direct your path, your footsteps. We said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, it's ordered by the word order your steps. Every time you want to mess up, the word tells you, no, you can't do that. Sometimes the word tells you got to cut off some people, because they're trying to draw you into that dark place that they're in. You got to cut them off. That don't mean you hate them. You still praying for them. Like I said, you still praying for folk that take you for granted. You still praying for them. You don't have room. You don't have the luxury of hitting anybody. Anyone, you don't have the luxury of. You should pray for them. Because why? You're a man of integrity. In verse 22 and 23, the exhortation. St. Peter condemning in verse 1 and verse 20 and 21. And now in 20 and 23, he said to them, to him, the exhortation, he said, repent of your wickedness and prayer to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. Peter didn't say he will forgive him. He said, perhaps. Depends on how you're praying, because God knows your heart. You can't trick God. You can't con God with your smart talking, your highfalutin talking. It's got to come out your heart. The prayer got to come out of your heart, out of your inside, not out of your head. And then he made a plea here in Acts 8 and 24. Pray to the Lord for me, Simon exclaimed, that these terrible things you have said wouldn't happen to me. Simon had some kind of inclination that the apostle's power was enough to cause things to happen to him that he had never experienced before. That's why he started to plea for the apostles. Verse 25 says, after testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. See, you can't stop preaching. You got to be always willing and ready to share this word. Now, Philip is still working. He is still working. Why? Because he's a man with integrity. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down to the desert road, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under the Candace the queen of Ethiopia. The Edom had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And as he was now returning seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to me, to Philip, go over and walk alongside, long beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the book of Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? Very profound question. Now, you know that the Holy Spirit has prompted Peter, Philip, to go down here and walk next to him. He just said it. So the Holy Spirit knows that this man is reading a great book, but he doesn't understand what he's reading. See, the Holy Spirit would tell you to go places. You wonder, why do I have to go this? Why do I have to do that? You hear it in your spirit, and all you need to do is operate in obedience because the Holy Spirit have a work for you to do. He has a work for us to do, and sometimes all we have to do is move. So we don't want to go unless there's 1,000 people, 1,500 people, 2,000 people, 3,000 people. That's where we want to go, where there's a lot of people. They say, I want to go down to Bishop So-and-So Church because if I preach down there, I'm going to get a great offering, and this going to happen and that going to happen. And God said, there's only two people I want you to reach today. So go over there to that little church over there. They only got about 10 people in their church, 12 people, 15 people, 30 people. But that's where I want you to go. I'm going to use you in that church. You don't want to go because you ain't going to get a whole lot of accolades. It's just a few people. And that's where God wants. He says, Philip, just go over there and walk next to the carriage. Philip could have said, look, and you and I, we say, man, look, Lord, I'm trying to get to McDonald's right now. I'm trying to get to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm trying to get to Popeye's, Lord. I'm trying to get to all you can eat. Maybe I see him on the next path. Philip did not question. He went on over and started walking next to the carriage. And he could hear the man reading aloud. He was reading loud enough that Philip heard it. Hallelujah. And Philip asked him a question. This is a man of valor. He's a man of authority. He's probably dressed on a very fancy robe and have all types of gold and silver on him. He's a very respected person. He's a man of high standards, high authority. And Philip asked him this question. Why? Because Philip is under the unction of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit now is leading Philip to ask him, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instruct me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. Now you know all this is orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The Edom asked Philip, I'm reading the New Living Translation. The Edom asked Philip, tell me, was this prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. See, it gave Philip an opportunity. God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. He gave Philip an opportunity to share Jesus, the good news with this Edom. A lot of times you don't need a whole lot. Just an opportunity. Just an open door. Just an open door for you to share the word. We had an elder lady come to the church a couple of times in a wheelchair. And she was wrecked with pain. I've never seen her before. She came in there. And the Lord says, pray for her. She haven't got about the wheelchair. But the pain that she was suffering that Sunday morning left and went back to hell where it came from. Hallelujah. And the woman is a prayer warrior. How do I know that? Because when I was on the altar another Sunday, the Lord said, go down and have that old lady. She's an elder lady. Have her pray for me. And when that lady laid her hands on my head, my head is soaking wet. I'm perspiring like crazy. I could feel fire coming from this woman's hand. Her hand was burning my head. And she prayed so profoundly. I mean, anointed prayer in my life. For my protection, she was praying. I didn't tell her what to pray. The Lord said, give her a prayer for you. This Enoch, after Philip asked him the questions, after hearing what he was speaking, he invited Philip to come up in his carriage. Nice carriage, too. In that day, you would think that carriage was like driving a Rolls Royce. It was the best of the best. He is one of the right-hand people to the queen of Ethiopia. So you know he ain't got no shabby carriage. It's nice. And Philip began to talk to him about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water. And the Enoch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? So you know Philip had to be telling him all about being saved in the name of Jesus and be baptized in Jesus' name. So once he see the water, he is already pricked in his heart. See, this is what people, well, you know, God wants you to be blessed, and God wants you to have this, and you can have that. God wants you to be prosperous, and God, all this stuff they're telling you, but nobody telling you how to live holy. Man, we ain't gotten this thing to get rich. If the rich that we getting here to get, we want to get rich in Christ Jesus. We ain't getting here to get no big bank account. What am I going to do with all the money that I get if I don't give to the poor? Get to the poor and the widows and the homeless and the orphans and all this stuff. I can't take it back with me. Joseph said, naked I came into this world, and naked I will depart it. Man, get to the place where we so filled with the Holy Ghost, so filled with the anointing, that when we begin to preach and teach this gospel, people run to the altar. You don't even have to make an altar call, because the anointing convicts them. What you're preaching and teaching will cause them to come to the altar. You don't even have to open your mouth. It will draw them. Because the Bible says it very clear. No one can come to him except he draw them. He's going to draw them by what you're preaching. If you're preaching prosperity, they're not running to the altar. I'm telling you. They're giving you accolades. Oh, yes. Yes, preacher, that's good. That's good. They're giving you accolades. Because you tell them they're going to get a new car. They're going to get a new house. Oh, yeah, the husband you've been praying for you is coming to you. The wife is all that stuff. That's just hyping them up. You're tickling their itchy ears. Tell them the truth. When Philip tells Enoch the truth, the good news, and he saw the water, the Enoch didn't wait till Philip to ask. And he said, look, here's some water. What would hinder me from being baptized? Hallelujah. He ordered the carriage to stop. And they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. Why? Have you ever asked yourself, why did the Holy Spirit snatch Philip away? This is how the King, the NLT is seeing it. He snatched him away because he had completed the assignment for that particular moment. Philip has completed his assignment for that particular moment. He has given that Enoch what he didn't have. The gift of salvation and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Philip was snatched away. And Enoch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. When you give people the good news, something will happen in them, and something will happen for you. It's not about money. It's about souls. God is going to give us the money that we need to reach the poor, to help the hunger. But it's not about money. Our mindset must be to win souls. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. And Lord, we send it out with power and with authority.
was and is an authentic word, a word for those that have an ear to hear. Lord, we ask God that as this word is being recorded, that when we get the opportunity to send it out on the web, we pray, Father God, that even the preachers that out there in computer land, when they hear this word, that their life will never be the same. Father, we ask you now to bless us to hear even more. Bless us to see even greater things, that you will be glorified and that your church will be edified and that the enemy of the church, Satan, Diablo, the devil, Beelzebub, whatever name, the beast, the dragon, Lord God, will be terrified. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord, your Savior, and your soon coming King. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, John 3:17 says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And we know that a lot of stuff is kicking off in the nighttime. A lot of things are kicking off in the nighttime. You know, after 12 o'clock, after 3 o'clock, after 9 o'clock, after 6 o'clock. These are the hours that things kick off real serious. And I mean kick off evil is turn up his ugly head. The Bible says, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the remission of sins, plural, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You got to have that gift. You have to have the Holy Ghost. This is why Peter and John came down from Jerusalem into Samaria, because they received Jesus. They received Jesus, but they wouldn't baptize in the Holy Ghost. They didn't receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-11. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. The name is Jesus. Yeshua. Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A-double-L. Don't think the pastor's pointing fingers at you. The pastor sinned too. That's why he is here. God draw him out of darkness into his light. And God wants to draw everyone under the sound of my voice out there in computer land that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, has not confessed him as Lord and Savior, has not repented for their sin. God wants you to repent. And God wants you to come because he's calling. He's calling today for everyone that don't know him. He's calling them to come on in. Come on in to the flock. He said, there's many other sheep that belong to the flock. They have not yet come. He said, they shall come by the word that we speak. The word that we speak will draw them. He said, they shall believe on him by the word. Their word. Their word. The word that
we speak is his word. So this morning, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. By him, no one can come. You can say, well, I'm going this way. No, you can't go in that way. There's no other way. You have to go in by the way of Jesus. That's the only way. You got to go and let Jesus lead you in. He is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, and the sheep know his voice. So he's calling you today. He wants you to become one of his sheep today, to come on in. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you want this life today? Ask yourself, because it's available. Eternal life is available to you, to me, to whoever wants it today. Jesus is knocking at your heart, at our hearts. He's always knocking at our hearts to keep us on the straight and narrow path. If you want it, you can have it right now. Glory to God. The Bible says that God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's how much God loved us, that he was willing to give his only begotten son, that you and I would have access to the tree of life. So today, my friend, the word of God says that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Unmerited favor. God grant us, you and I, something that we weren't deserving of. And what we deserve to have, he did not give to us. So you can come on in today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my friend, you're out there in computer land. You may be on your job. You may be sitting behind your work desk at your home. You don't know him as your Lord and Savior. Take this opportunity to confess your sin before the Lord. You don't have to tell me anything, because I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. But if you just, wherever you are, just open your mouth and tell the Lord. Open your mouth. The Bible says you have not, for you ask not. And when you ask permission. Open your mouth and tell the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I heard the word today, and I'm convinced in my heart that I need to give my life to you. Give my heart to you, all my complete. And day today I'm coming, Lord, and denouncing Satan and all of his agents and the world system, all that it stands for. I'm looking to you, the author and finisher of my faith, for salvation. My heart is open, and I'm inviting you now to come in. Live on the throne of my heart, Lord Jesus. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I accept you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you just said that prayer and you believe what you said out of your mouth, you receive it in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, my friend, all you need to do is get a Bible and begin with studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, like we just read out of the book of Acts. Because you want to get a gospel understanding of this Jesus Christ that we are teaching and preaching about, these apostles. You know, you want to understand why is it so important to teaching and to hear the message of the cross. You want to know all this, but you're not going to know it by just walking around. You've got to open the book. Open the book, and as I always say, when you open the book, invite the Holy Spirit. Invite him to come and talk to you, help you, lead you, direct you. He will show you the path to go. You understand? And then you want to call up a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell them that you have received the gift of salvation and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, according to Acts 2:38. But don't go in there fighting with the people
the pastor and them say, well, the preacher told me that I got to be baptized in Jesus' name, and I don't want to baptize anywhere else. You just don't know. I would love to be baptized in Jesus' name according to Acts 2 and 38. And if they say they don't baptize that way, don't fuss with the pastor or preacher. Just tell the pastor, well, I will get back in touch with you as soon as I get my people together, my family, the witnesses that I want to have, the witnesses great occasion of my life. And let leave it like that, because you never know. In time past, they might call you back when the pastor may resign, or they may oust the pastor, because they do that from time to time. If the pastor's not acting right, the church government would vote the pastor out, because a lot of times the pastor's voted in. And sometimes the pastor started church by himself, he and his wife and the children. You can't get him out. But you want to leave the bridge that you might have to walk back over, travel back over whole. Don't burn the bridge. When you get baptized, we say you're going in the liquid grave. You're going down that water, maybe at the ocean, maybe at a lake, maybe in a swimming pool, maybe in a baptismal pool in the church building. You're going down there, and we call it a watery grave or liquid grave. And you're leaving everything that held you hostage, that kept you from going to Jesus, kept you in bondage, that you didn't want to hear about Jesus. Now you're leaving it in that water. And when you come up out that water, you're coming up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who he is. Righteousness of God and Jesus Christ. You're coming up there. And now find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Get yourself connected with the church. Don't go and be a spectator, because a lot of people go in and they're just spectators. All they want to do, they can't wait to hear the next week. But they don't want to do anything. They say they complain. Well, why there's so much paper in the church? And nobody's street. Why is the rug, the carpet so dirty? Why is the pews dirty? But they don't want it. They don't have. They want to come and find everything clean, the bathroom clean, everything clean. But they don't offer to clean anything. They don't offer to be a partake of what's going on. Do something. Get in there and do something. All that's ministry. Say, Pastor, I know I'm new in the church, but there's anything that I can do, that you know I can do, I would like to do. And the pastor might say, well, yeah, well, you go down and be helping the children's church or the young adults church, you know, all that stuff. They got a lot of ministries inside the church. You can be a part of it. You don't have to be the preacher. They already got a preacher in the church. So I thank God for you all that received the gift of salvation. I pray that you continue faithful in the ministry that God placed you in, and that you continue to study the word of God, and you continue to walk, oh God, with integrity, that people, when they see you, they will glorify God. But that's what it's all about. We don't want people to take light of your walk and then talk ill of your God, you know, because they say when they find you walking, contribute, they say, well, if that's what a Christian's like, I don't need that. I've been doing that before. I don't need to do that. So we thank God for you all to come in and heard the word. And we pray God's strength upon you, upon us. In Jesus' name, the line is open. If anyone has a word to share, you could. The line is open. I'm going to go on mute for a minute. And then I'll be back on. Father God, we thank you for Deacon Fraser. We thank you for Minister Jones. Thank you for Prophetess Cheryl. And thank you for Apostle Stewart. Oh, God, we thank you for those coming on today. I know we got to go and do some work, so we're going to get over here. Father, we thank you and praise you, oh, God, for this day. Thank you for the word. Thank you for those that came on today to fellowship with us, and those that were not able to see anything because of where they are. But, Lord, we thank you for the word that you've given us. Lord, as we leave this line but never your presence, we ask you to bless those that heard the word and those that will hear the word. We ask you, Father God, to continue to keep us faithful to what you have assigned unto us, O God, that we will continue to walk in this anointing, walk in this in healing, walk in deliverance, walk in restoration, and that we be who you said we are, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask, Father God, bless Brother Deacon Fraser, bless his ministry, bless his job, O God, bless his mother, bless his father, his sister, bless everything that concerns him, and God, keep him as the apple of your eye. And Lord, we ask, God, that you strengthen him to become who you have called him to be, Lord God, that the enemy would know that he is your servant, he is your child. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Now, as we leave this line, but never your presence, O God, and we speak blessings over the airways, O God, asking you, Father God, to anoint or travel as we go into do this job, Lord. We ask for traveling mercy and keeping mercy, Lord, that when we get in that neighborhood, Lord, God, that you would keep us safe and secure, that no hurt, harm, or danger would befall us. And, Father, as you do this for us, O God, we continue to give you glory, continue to give you honor in the matchless name of Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives as we continue to dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. Might stop someone from committing suicide. Might stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." That just means that all the attributes, the characteristics of Jesus Christ must be seen in our lives. When people see us, they see the very image of who Christ is, because all that we are doing, all that we are seeing, glorifies him. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank God for you all. Have a blessed day, and hopefully we'll see you all on tomorrow, if the Lord say the same. If we're not here tomorrow, we'll be here Saturday, the Lord say the same. I think I have some work to do. But we try to be here tomorrow. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye. Oh, bless.